Hey everybody, look, we all want to eat healthy, right? But it's not easy. You know, we're incredibly busy, we're always running around, and oh look, there's another fast food place, I'll just do a drive-thru. That's why Blue Apron is here, because not only are they the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, they want to help you not only eat healthy, but learn how to cook healthy. Their mission is really simple. It's to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody. And we talk about them on the show all the time. Adam Gertler is a chef. He loves Blue Apron. I've used it. And I'll be honest, I usually never take the time to cook. But when I use Blue Apron, it just makes my day better because I know I'm eating healthy. And I'll be honest, when you eat healthy, your energy level just goes right through the roof. And so here's some info on Blue Apron. Number one, they've established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. The seafood sustainably sourced, the beef, chicken, and pork responsibly raised animals at the different places where they're from, and the produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. And, you know, also cooking together. If you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you cook together, it just, you know, brings a cool bond and you have a good time. And, you know, a lot of people go out to restaurants or high-end grocery chains. You spend a lot of money. Well, Blue Apron is very, very affordable, all right? You could spend under $10 a person for an incredible meal. And speaking of incredible meals, here's some coming up. Summer vegetable and egg paninis with Calabrian chili mayonnaise and Capri salad, soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans, skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits. I can't even make this stuff up. This is how creative the people behind Blue Apron are. It's really great. And so, like I said, I've tried it, and I'm more than impressed with how great the food is and how good I feel eating afterwards. So it's really simple. Call to action, guys. You want to try Blue Apron? We're going to make it really simple for you. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/movie news. Not DC Movie News. Go to blueapron.com/movie news. And a lot of these meals, you're going to make them in under 30 minutes, okay? And so each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe and pre-portioned ingredients. And like I said, it can be prepared in barely any time at all. And the deal is incredible. So if you want to get your first 3 meals free with free shipping, I'm talking 3 meals. It'll cost you nothing except a little bit of time and effort. You go to, blueapron.com/movie news. That's, once again, blueapron.com/movie news. Get yourself some Blue Apron and get yourself some health. All right.
So many jokers, so little space. Shazam! Yeah, we got more rumors about Shazam. Todd Stashwick is in the house, and we now have a director for the Oscar award-winning Suicide Squad sequel.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
And music, yeah! Yes.
In the great hall of the
looking
Justice
good!
League, there are assembled the world's four group greatest shot heroes. Created from the cosmic legend of the universe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DC Movie News Show on the Popcorn Talk Network. We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Mike Kalinowski is out fighting crime today, so he's not with us, but trust me, he's with us in spirit. Just sent us some breaking news via text, but we have a full squad here. Let's get right into it. What's up, Rox?
It was TV Time News, so I know he was thinking about me.
Of course he was. He's always thinking about you. All right, first things first, I'm Johnny LaQuasto, at Jay Quasto, the man right there. He is the host of Man vs. Child on FYI, as well as FX Movie Download on FX, and he's the greatest verse mocker in this country. Follow him at Adam Gertler. He's Adam Gertler.
Hey, everyone. Nice to be here. I do not support that claim. Greatest verse. Well, I guess greatest verse mocker in the country because it's a title that I think only I hold.
That's fine. That's
so nobody else has it. It's kind of a made up title. Thank you. Wonderful to be here. Hope some of you saw your DC movie team represent in the Schmodown that went down yesterday.
We're really proud of you.
Yeah. Wow. I had the most fun anyone could ever have without actually winning. So you got to watch
22,
it.
Right?
Yes, but it was just like, it was awesome because I had like, I suggested a song to Mike early in the day to come out to, and then he was like, what about this song? And then I came up with this whole opening, and I had so much fun with it, and he played along, and my girlfriend played along and put me in crazy makeup.
Oh.
And then my whole thing was seriously, because Mike is the leader of the team. He's a genius. My thing was like, because we were going against a crazy team, don't F up the first round. And I had a perfect first round.
Yeah.
Nice. Unbelievable. So I wasn't even expecting it. And so I don't know. It was awesome. And I can't wait for the next one. Now, well, I got the fever.
I can't wait to watch.
You think he's the leader of the team, but you had a better round this time.
Listen.
It's tit for tat. That's why you guys are a great team. You're a great partnership because you have different strengths and don't put yourself down like that.
No, totally different strengths. And we just, listen, nobody, even like the people watching, like our third round, we just I picked three bad numbers, and we got like three questions that neither of us knew, which is so rare. So it was a little anticlimactic of an ending, but so exciting, especially because the guys we were going against, Sam Levine and Drew McWeeny, are, you know,
they are the gold standard of
solid
nerds,
players.
Essentially, like, they know everything.
So cool. But anyway, a lot of good DC stuff to be talking about here, so I'm good to be here.
And you know what? It's all leading up to the Ultimate Schmodown, so y'all are going to be ready. The league will be united.
The league will be united, yeah.
So there you go. That lady right there is the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show. She's the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies without a paywall, y'all, so you better be watching every single week. Follow her everywhere at Roxy Stryer. She's Roxy Stryer.
No paywall, no paywall, no bra, no panties.
Oh. Is that, wow.
That comes from 13.
Y'all would get ratings.
They don't
ratings
talk about a paywall. Ah, it's Roxy, Roxy. She's Roxy Stryer.
So do you want to explain? Actually, no, after we... Explain to me, OTP. I said, talk about the show. Because I said I wanted to ship your Facebook page. I liked it.
So I have a Facebook page, which somehow was created. Sure. I didn't
like
do
like a
it.
Fan page?
No, no. I, at some point in life, I don't know whether I was drunk or made a Roxy Stryer Facebook page.
Fan page, sure.
But it's not called a fan page. It's just a page.
Well, she made the page.
I made the page, so it's
not a
fan page.
I guess you could make a fan page, though.
Yeah. Okay. So then I saw it because somebody wrote something on it yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, I have this. I should invite people to it. Johnny, you were nice enough to like it. Adam's still waiting on you.
Loved it.
Mm-hmm. Adam, I see you. And you wrote that you shipped it, and I wanted to keep you up to date with the current lingo that the kids are saying. Mm-hmm. And so I said OTP.
Right.
So any guesses, Johnny?
I said save it for the show.
Any
so
guesses?
I could look like a fool. Over the paddy wagon.
Uh-huh. It's so close. Okay. So close that none of the words are
damn it,
right.
Really? Not even over?
No, not even
on
over.
On the...
No, I said
wagon.
None of the words were right. He's none of the words were right, Johnny. Oh,
okay.
One true pairing. So, like, now
thank you
instead
for putting
of ship,
him out of his misery.
Yeah, it's your one true pairing. Like, Ross and Rachel are OTP.
Okay.
Or you can have an OTP. Like, maybe Todd's your OTP.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to come up with the right acronym for us, and now we finally have it.
Yeah, it's another way for saying end game ship.
I love it.
This show is OTP for you guys.
Special guest is back in studio. He's a friend of the show. He's been on once before. I was out of town, so I'm glad to be here.
Big shoes to fill.
Oh, please. You know him as Deacon from the hit show 12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi. Just wrapped its fourth season. Cannot wait. And it's going to be, is it publicly known that it's...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's fourth and final. Yeah.
Fourth and final season.
If not, you really, really screwed the pooch on that one.
This isn't live, right?
No. Oh, okay.
No,
we're good.
Not we'll just
in
post.
Anyways, Todd Stashway.
Hi, everybody.
It's Todd.
For having me.
Also, where are the comic books?
In the hall.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
We got to show them off. Well, by the way, so he created some comic books that are incredible that are now on sale. Please tell us about those first, then we'll get into everything else.
Oh, the brief history. When I was working on Heroes, they introduced my character on the webcomic for Heroes.
Okay.
And I, you know, I'm a comic nerd. So to see myself drawn, I was like, I got to find the artist. So I found him on Twitter, and I took his drawing and made it my avatar, and his name is Dennis Calero, and I said, dude, I love your work, and that was cool. And
he was probably so excited. You're probably one of the first people to ever do that to him.
The funny thing is he's like some Jamoka's tweeting me look at that.
Ask and they shall believe.
And Tony, could you bring in the Batman thing as well?
So he's like some idiot is using my drawing, and then he's like he realizes that I was the idiot.
Thank you, Tony.
And so
he
didn't know. He thought I was just like a fanboy, like who was using my face, and he's like, oh no, it's the dude's face that I drew.
That's so
he's like, I'm coming to LA. Do you want to sit down and chat? And we sat down and chat, and he's like, do you write? And I said, yeah, I have this idea about the devil quitting, but not Lucifer. It's more like Breaking Bad. So the devil quits, and he goes on the lam in Nevada. If he doesn't use his powers, he kind of has a crisis of conscience. And if he doesn't use his powers, those that are in hell trying to drag him back can't locate him. So he's like trying to keep it together.
Okay.
He's trying to keep it together.
He's trying to be a person.
Yes. So
there's a similar, it's kind of like a other side of Preacher in a way.
And oddly, as we put it out for free online, it's still for free online, as a webcomic at devilinsidecomic.com.
Devil Inside.
That's the name of the book. And And so what we did every year is we collected up that year's worth of strips and then published it as chapters. And then we would go to Comic-Con and sell them.
Wow.
And so yesterday we had a big signing at Blast Off Comics, which is in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
product placement. Yeah, you're representing there. Blast Off.
And so if people want to buy hard copies, signed hard copies of the book, they can get them at blastoffcomics.com.
And these are in-depth. You're not going to finish these in 20 minutes.
They're good stuff, and we're really proud of it. And
should be.
And it's so it's kind of like Breaking Good. Like, yeah. It's like he's trying to go straight. But what I was saying about Preacher is I have been writing this thing for a year, and for whatever reason, Preacher was part of the Vertigo verse that I had not consumed.
Across.
And so people are like, you should read Preacher because this reminds us of Preacher. I'm like, I better. And so I did. And I was like, I see what they mean.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It did not deter me from continuing the story as I mean, there are similarities, but they end, it's very cosmetic.
And the intro by Dana Gould.
Dana Gould did the intro on that one. Amber Benson did the intro on that one. And then Doug Jones did the intro on book three.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. The detail in this is just ridiculous.
Dennis is an amazing, amazing artist, and he's a writer in his own right. And so it has been a tremendous collaboration.
I don't understand what that means, in his own right.
In his own right. Meaning, I focus writing on this book, and he's the artist on this book, but he has written other things.
Right.
I was sort of saying he's known in the comic book world as a comic artist.
Yeah.
But he has written things in
his own
comic
right.
books.
Yeah.
In his own.
Yeah. And if he gave you some input, you would be
well,
happy
it's a collaboration. It's a collaboration.
I play in the NBA in my own right.
In your own right.
No. That is completely incorrect.
I am Batman in my own right.
Nope.
You know what, Roxy...
Again, I think you're running down the wrong road.
Roxy, but in her own okay. right...
Don't have to work it over right now. Just let it soak
it
in and
me.
Yeah, let it wash over you and come back next week.
Roxy, in the phrase, in my own right, is definitely OTP on this episode.
Yeah, for sure.
There you go.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us about 12 Monkeys. You wrapped a couple weeks ago.
We just finished season 4. The fourth and final season of 12 Monkeys.
Amazing.
And I spent the last 3 years of my life in Toronto and in Prague shooting that show with amazing people and amazing writers. And it's, it's like when high school ends, it's new beginnings, but your heart breaks a little bit.
Right.
Because you get, it's intense, 17-hour days.
Speaking of broken hearts, we do have a video we'd like to show. A fan made this. Speaking of the word ship, a fan wanted to ship you. On the show. It's a little bit blurry, but it's really well done.
Okay.
Ship me
so
in a
let's
man.
Check it out.
Yeah, let's see this.
See, it's touching. It's very touching. You've never seen this, have you?
I've
I found it.
Oh, it's me and Cassie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. People say we shouldn't be together. Yeah, this fan really wants you guys to end up together.
Oh, God bless them.
Yeah, it's a good
I could do worse. Amanda Shaw is a lovely... And Cassie, the character, is amazing. I'm pretty intense on the show.
It's a solid minute and 20 seconds.
We got the time.
Montage.
That's awesome.
Showing this forbidden love that they want to see. That was clearly edited on iMovie.
Yeah, look at the stabilizer.
At not a good bit rate at all, but...
Chat roll loving this
the
video.
The funny thing is they wanted to... Most of the 12 Monkeys fans, there's a character, Jennifer Goines, that they kept trying to connect Deacon with because that made more sense to them. So this is a first for me.
If I was lucky enough to get cast in something great, I think Deacon would be in my top three names.
That's
like
a good name, right?
It's a great
it's
name.
It's a good name.
Yeah, I play in a band with someone named Deacon.
See?
Deacon Ledges.
I bet
does
he's cool
he play the
out.
Harmonica?
No, I play the harmonica.
Does he also?
No,
just
he plays
recycling clips.
Piano and guitar.
In his own right.
he would say, if he played
this
harmonica,
is a, this is now a
I would say, oh, who's actually a great harmonica player in his own right?
His own
but
right.
He doesn't play harmonica,
well
so
played.
You wouldn't say
well
that.
Played.
In his own right.
This goes back to a photo that Roxy tweeted today of a fan saying underneath a YouTube comment, I'm so glad Roxy Stryer is a psychopath.
No,
and so am I.
Yeah.
In her own right.
In my own right.
Yeah. It's fantastic. All right, DC movie news time. We have a director for Suicide Squad, Dose. It's Gavin O'Connor. Toddy, you worked with him twice, so tell us about Gavin O'Connor. We shall be excited about this.
What?
Yeah, I did a pilot for Gavin called Cinnamon Girl years ago with Renee Zellweger. It was really
damn, okay.
great.
Were you Cinnamon Girl?
probably not.
Was that just so you could use the awesome Neil Young song in the intro?
Well, it was a good show. It was kind of about these four girls in kind of around Bobby. The pilot took place when Bobby Kennedy died, like the day he died. But it was about the Laurel Canyon music scene in the 60s.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was that ran essentially the whiskey.
Uh-huh.
So I was the RE to their entourage.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and it was great.
Well, Laurel Canyon is kind of deals with that scene a little bit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. And it was set in the 60s, and it was really cool. That's awesome. It was a great show. And,
did you shoot with Renee at all?
She narrated it. Oh, and there you go. It was sort of that Wonder Years thing. And cool. She... And it was her idea, but she was a producer. She was lovely. She was never in it, though.
Got it.
There was an American Idol in it, though, playing Janis Joplin.
Justin Guarini.
Yes, Justin Guarini.
I knew it. And what was Janis the other Joplin project you worked on?
Crystal Bower Sox played Janis Joplin.
Cool.
The other project I did was a film called Jane Got a Gun.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, which so we, you know, we... We played cowboys in New Mexico for a month.
Jane has got a gun.
Let's get your thought. In my opinion, to use a NorCal term, we should be hella excited that Gavin O'Connor has taken over.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's fantastic.
All right, not as
Have
cool
you seen
as
Warrior?
You. Yeah, I mean, it's one of my Warrior. Favorite. It's literally one of my top five favorite movies of all time.
Warrior, that movie came out of nowhere when I saw it. Like, it was before, like, now it's people so are talking about it, but I saw it and I'm like, I'm not into mixed martial arts or anything like that. I'd like Tom Hardy, but I didn't know.
It was... Really, I mean, coming from a pro wrestling world, I do watch MMA, but not to that extent. And the fact that, you know, they used Kurt Angle, didn't even say a word in the film, but he was terrifying. Mm. I mean, from start to finish, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's truly incredible. And not as lucky as you to have worked with Gavin, but as somebody who has actually been to his home and knows him a little bit.
What the hell is going on here?
He is the
it's
nicest.
It's like the Gavin O'Connor
nicest,
panel. Nicest I think he's going to be on the show next week.
Yeah,
you guys are
that would be awesome. He's actually been, he's sat right here before.
You're both one degree from Gavin O'Connor. This is insane.
In
zero
for Action Movie zero Anatomy, degrees. And he discussed Warrior. Him and Anthony, degree. They both came in.
And then you went to his house and had some tea.
No, actually before that I went to his house. He was throwing a big fundraiser for his neighbors who... Their kid was very sick, and they threw this fundraiser, and they had the National come and play in his yard, which was wonderful. Yeah. One of a great band.
Yeah.
But he is like the most generous, giving, artistic, brilliant. So what could go wrong with this?
Amazing. No, and he's a great writer, and he's a great director.
Yes,
and he's very close with Patty Jenkins.
Not to mention the accountant. That's another great body of work.
Which is essentially a superhero film.
Yeah.
Did Mike say that the accountant?
One of his
was
favorite
his,
films, or favorite film of 2016.
His favorite. Well, his favorite.
Wonder Woman was. Oh, that's this 2016. Year. Last year, sure.
I think that was a little bit of hype. Hyperbole on Mike's part. I liked it, and I find it rewatchable. But what did you think of the first Suicide Squad? And I know you're, you know, I don't want you to yourself out on Front Street if you've worked with people involved in the film.
I often have the phrase, you know, you can be a creator or a critic.
Uh-huh.
So I'm more of a creator. I've seen it more than once, and
twice?
No, I've seen it a lot.
Oh.
I think it captures a DC universe that we hadn't seen captured before. I think the vibe is spot on. All the Batman stuff was stellar. I love the way the film opened and the energy and the presentation. And I think it kind of loses its way a little bit at times. I think there's something fascinating about the fact that you bring together a group of people and the fact that they get brought together causes the problem that then they have to solve.
Right. Yes.
I mean, that's a very interesting premise to explore. And I think some of the casting is spot on.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I think
some holes. But
what's exciting for me as a fan is that here's an opportunity. I mean, we don't need to bash DC, EU. They've heard all the criticism that's out there to hear. Clearly, this is a director who's done incredible action. Are you right with the chair there?
My chair is possessed. It's like
so, I mean, if you take all those things that I agree worked well with the film, but you drive it back to the character, which is really what you need, and the action has got to be a huge part of it, too. This is an opportunity for a movie, for a sequel, to greatly surpass...
Oh, without a doubt.
...the original, without losing, obviously, a profitable franchise. And it's still a great concept. We still wanted a great movie. So I'm like, in no way am I put off because I was not a big fan of the first film. I'm incredibly excited, and hearing this director's name is just really good
news. He gets to come in and be a little bit of the hero in this situation, because I feel like he's coming out on top no matter what, based on where they're coming from and what the actual percentage of people who adore this movie is. It's pretty low.
There's a lot of great ingredients.
Though. Yeah, there are. Yes. And I think that because there are those great ingredients, he's going to be able to use them and mix it up and make it a little different. What's interesting is, you guys remember before Matt Reeves was announced on The Batman, we heard that Gavin's name was getting tossed around. And obviously that made more sense, him with Ben. Do you guys think that his name coming into
and
this...
And Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah,
was
true.
Was in the account
JK.
As well.
Yeah. And do you guys think him coming onto this, though, means that Batman will be involved in the project?
I'm sure.
Really?
I'm sure.
In Suicide Squad 2?
I think, I mean, in the same way that they utilized him last time. I think in those, like,
so
little
brief.
Vignettes.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about Suicide Squad.
The question is, we have no idea what storyline we're going to have in Suicide Squad 2. Like, the world is their oyster as far as creativity. And also, like you said, Adam... They're going to learn from their mistakes. Gavin O'Connor gets it, and it's going to be a story. It's almost going to revamp the Suicide Squad, you know, franchise, if you will, after the first one. Because, not a lot of people enjoyed
it. It's kind of like James Mangold coming in to do the second Wolverine film, which even that, he had said that there was already a script in place. He didn't really have, you know, he was only able to do so much. And then with the third Wolverine film, I mean, that was freaking amazing. I love that. That's one of my favorite movies of this year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly rewatchable. So, yeah, definitely we've seen studios with these big properties. They're too big to abandon the property, but like, all right, what can we do to fix it or make it better or to move it forward? I thought Will Smith, I enjoyed him more in that film. I wanted more
great
of that
casting.
Character.
Yeah.
It was great casting. And like, there were some things that were wasted that I wanted more of, and then some things, you know, where it went, but, you know, again, this is joyous.
Almost every performance was great. I thought Diablo was incredible. Obviously, you got Margo, who's
he's probably not coming back, Diablo.
He's, he might not be coming back.
Yeah, probably not.
I think
Rick Flagg was a little bit miscast, maybe, in my opinion. But when it comes down to it, I'm stoked for it, and I think they just need to trust Gavin's vision and not... I don't want Warner Brothers to get their grubby hands on things.
He'll have one. I mean, and he's directed a lot of genre. Like, I mean, directed a Western, and then... I mean, The Accountant is a superhero film. I mean,
he's
got a power, and he's got a Commissioner Gordon. Like, it's... He kind of already
he's got a Commissioner Gordon that is Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
One of our fans says that they love your yelling voice and that you were amazing also on the originals.
Oh, that's very kind.
So there you go.
That was another fun. Those are great people.
Heck
too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We got a new Justice League logo, everybody.
I love that show.
Look at that show, right?
BatmanNews.com released a new Justice League logo.
Is it that different?
I mean,
wow!
No, I can't. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Look at
I don't know enough about the original
Justice League.
Justice League logo
different.
Is the same part. The thing is that putting the DC
above.
Yeah, that's eggshell white as opposed to
exactly
ochre.
Putting the DC on Front Street right there.
Okay,
I'd say it's very cool. It makes it look more comic booky.
Do you guys wish that they used it as the top part of the eye, like you do with a heart when you are a young female?
I like how it's used there. I like the star in there. I think
I'm talking about the DC.
Oh.
You know how an eye gets dotted?
Yeah.
Don't you wish DC was dot in the side?
Although the symmetry
then
it'd be makes me, as a Libra, the
Roxy,
symmetry makes me very happy.
Just admit,
it started as a joke, and then you guys
but
made
it's
it
like
real.
Shoulder roll into
just
that.
Admit, it's a great logo in its own right.
In its own right, it is.
So it looks
still not exactly. I still think you guys need to work on it a little bit.
We're working on it. The Amazons are going back to Themyscira. So this actress Madeline Val Bjerner, that sounds Nordic if I ever heard it.
MVB.
Exactly.
Oh, good.
MVB. She posted on Instagram. I wonder if
she played an Amazon warrior in Wonder Woman.
Yeah. She posted, in less than 3 weeks, I'll be reunited with these badass Amazon warriors again. So,
do you think that this was an oversight, or do you think that she was cleared to post this?
That's what I wonder, but this tells me, obviously, they're going to be in Italy until deep September doing...
But there are some follow-ups with this story. Yeah, I mean... There was a follow-up, a screen grab of an interaction with her online, and someone was like, oh, does this confirm more Justice League shooting? And then she responded, no, this has nothing to do with Justice League.
Ah, then there you go.
So she could, maybe they got to her and they said, you better twist that. Or some people are thinking that because there is something between the Atlanteans and the Amazons, that maybe this is an Aquaman flashback or side, you know, those two.
Here was the exact back and forth. Somebody wrote to her, "Hi, I run a comic book news page. Many are reporting your Instagram post as confirmation of Justice League reshoots continuing for the coming week. If you don't mind, can you specify if your Instagram post is referencing a future JL reshoot you are involved in? Thanks." And she wrote back saying, "Hi, no, it has nothing to do with JL. Sorry, X Maddie."
There you go.
So
it's Shazam! They're starting early.
There's some NDA action going on.
Yeah.
And she went goop because if she pulled it, it would have been confirmation.
Yeah.
If she leaves it up, she can then plausibly.
Because what else could it be?
Isn't it a bit late though for Justice League reshoots at this point? We have a film coming out in November.
I think it's her jumping
still.
Second unit over there, maybe.
Adam, what else could it be?
Aquaman.
I mean, if stuff is shut digitally.
Yeah.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah. I think she jumped the gun and got excited and hell I ain't gonna.
Chat room, what do you guys think?
Would
you
guys blame her at all?
I'm curious.
I'd be posting stuff too. But yeah.
You know what I think? I think Justice League in general is becoming a lot like the Mayweather McGregor fight in that like it's becoming this curiosity. Like I don't think people are down on the fact, but no one knows what they're gonna get because it's this really unusual hybrid. People are rooting for it, but the Whedon, Snyder, it's like something that we fan cast. Like, wouldn't it be great if they directed it together and like Zack Snyder's eye and like Whedon's, you know, wit. And now we're kind of getting it, but in separate rooms. It's almost like a Mad Lib sort of creation. and then you have Warner Brothers that's pushing this movie and the advertising is only going to start to ramp up in the next month. Yeah. But there really is no movie. It's like, we don't know it. And that's why it's also like this fight. It's like in a prize fight, you really don't know what the outcome could be. It could be a 13-second thing, or it could be 12 rounds of like...
Well, talking about shoots still going on, to put things in you know, production terms, you could turn around a TV show in a month. You know, you can shoot a week's worth of footage and turn it around and air it on television.
Sure.
With visual effects and whatnot in a month. Hmm. So if they're plugging in scenes, they could still technically be shooting as they're still assembling this thing. In terms of the hybrid stuff, I don't know. Is Zach still weighing in?
No, Zach. I mean, Zach had left the project months ago. It was announced that he's walking away from the project because of his personal tragedy. I happen to think that they were going to kind of come to a conclusion with that relationship regardless. Right. And this just sort of was the right time. But no, that's from what we saw. You know, Zach has added a few more pictures to his Vero account or whatever, but really no comments. I mean, and Whedon, to be fair, doesn't comment about Justice League at all. He only makes political comments.
Todd, let's get your expertise on this, because this is a question from East Blue Drew. How can reshoots be happening with Ben in California, Gal in Israel, Jason in Australia, Ezra on Fantastic Beasts 2, and Henry in London?
Because these are Amazons.
Is that because they would be doing reshoots without any of them?
Maybe they're just getting B-roll, filler.
It could be a second unit, right? It could be, you don't know.
For visual effects.
Yeah, the Amazons could clearly be involved in Aquaman.
They also could, because we feel like there's a history between the Atlanteans and the Amazons and the mother boxes. That's going to tie into Justice League.
With
how well Wonder Woman did and how beautiful...
In
its own right. With how amazing Themyscira looked and how amazing Wonder Woman did, there's no... I mean, if they have a chance to put Amazons in Aquaman... Better believe they're going to put Amazons in Aquaman.
Yeah, better to put more Amazons in the DC color palette than more dark cities and stuff, I think, at this point. Amazons is always going to be a good thing.
So here's something. It seems like Jared Leto's a pretty even-keeled guy. It takes a lot to get him upset. Well, apparently one thing could be to mention Leonardo DiCaprio taking over for him as Joker. And according to BatmanNews.com, Warner Brothers wants Leo to be the new Joker. For the Batman.
Right.
With Scorsese, the original Joker movie.
But aren't they...
Becoming
the Joker for Scorsese's Joker
Origin. But isn't that a standalone
thing? So I think to put it in perspective, I think Jared and some other 30 Seconds from Mars dude were doing some video game thing, and they asked about it, and I think you might have the quote exactly. He basically said, it's confusing too. Yeah, they've announced this, but it's not... he made it sound like they didn't go to him and tell them that, you know, this is something we're doing. But he did also say that he had several projects for DC coming up that he was excited about. And he loves playing the Joker.
There's just a bunch of contradicting things here, which is how we know we're not getting all accurate information. One of those things seeming to be that all of the casting that has come out about the standalone Joker movie has been men in their 40s and 50s. And the plot synopsis has been a high school kid.
Right.
So one of those things is not the truth.
You can't tell an origin of a 60-year-old. I mean, you have to be, start young.
Unless you're, you know, Godfather chewing it.
Yeah. So, or sure. Yeah, or it is the truth and we're missing some bit of it. So I think that we just don't know everything yet because Warner Brothers has not decided to share that with us yet.
And to be fair, the Leonardo DiCaprio rumor is pretty obvious, could be made up by someone. If you hear Martin Scorsese is producing a Joker movie, who's not going to make the leap to be like, of course, it's Leonardo DiCaprio. But he's gone on record a lot of times, I think, saying that he doesn't want it. He's not into the franchise thing.
Right. That's before Marty would come calling.
I do think that we've seen Jared Leto say...
Come on. Yeah, Leo, look. He's a Joker. You're going to have green hair. You know, it's going to be fun. The white makeup. It's going to be great. It's going to be gritty. It's going to like back into the girl. It's going to be Mean Streets again.
Catered lunches, Leo.
You think he's going to do the green hair, white face, too?
Absolutely. I don't know. Rolling Stones are going to open with...
We've already seen how good he works with Margot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so I think it was interesting, though. I liked what he actually said, because we've heard Jared Leto say some really harsh things about the film and how his scenes were cut and how he didn't appreciate that and all of that. But I thought it was interesting when he said it's a big universe and when you play the Joker, your computer screen blacks out. Something about ownership.
There's no ownership there. You have the honor of holding the baton for a little while and then passing it off. But there are other films in development, and I'm excited to see what comes from them.
So. Exactly.
But you're right, Todd. I mean, Leo's history with Margot, hot damn.
I mean, they certainly have spent... Yeah, did you... She's dead. It's dead.
It died.
You've died.
Oh, is your computer...
It died with full battery.
Ooh.
What?
Rylan says Mick Jagger is the
Give
Joker.
Me your thing.
I like that. I don't need that before. Much makeup.
Or do, like, cast, like, four different people at four different stages of his life.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like the Bob Dylan movie they did, I'm Not There.
I mean, like, have Mick Jagger... reflecting and then just keep kind of going down the nesting doll.
Can I be stand-up comedian version of Joker?
Yeah, sure. Of course, man.
I have enough shitty material. I can totally pull that off.
I suggested Adrian Brody. I think he'd be a great Joker.
There you go.
I think he'd be a great Joker.
So some more Shazam rumors happening now. We kind of mentioned in the past, they're saying that you know, John Cena is a possibility now.
It's so funny to me, Johnny, that you, of all of us, you seem to be the most against that.
I think physically it makes perfect sense. I just don't know. Cena has made it clear he's not really in. He doesn't want to be the next Rock. Like, he's not really...
He doesn't smell what's cooking?
He smells what he cooks in his own right. But granted, though, he made a lot of people impressed by what he did in Trainwreck, so...
So funny.
Yeah.
Comedic timing.
I mean...
When he hosted SNL, he was great.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it like this. Let's say The Rock has become quite an accomplished actor for doing what he's doing, but John Cena has been pretty successful in movies in his own right. We saw him in Trainwreck. And I think that's why a lot of people are making this leap. I also think he's kind of goofy. I can't take the guy seriously when I look at him, but I know that it could be an element to Shazam.
Well, it's because everywhere he goes, he's wearing the jean shorts.
He's a big boy scout, and he's actually a boy in this big body.
Yeah. He's wearing the t-shirt and the towel and the jean shorts and the baseball cap. That's his uniform.
Yeah.
They're also saying that Galavan's Joshua Sasse is a front runner to play Shazam. I don't know who that is.
And then I think Umberto said that he's never reached out to him. El Mayimbe was kind of shooting this down. So
here's the thing. If they do choose Cena, there's not too many people on Earth who have a bigger social media following than John Cena. So I guarantee you he will draw box office numbers, especially with a lot of his fans are kids. Well, guess what? Mom and Dad, I want to go see Shazam. He'll draw numbers.
This movie is a curiosity. I can't wait to see, because this is like... It's a known property maybe to us more, but not to a younger generation. So
why it's like the Iron Man of the DCU. Like, you're going to have to get, like you said, a social media following. Like, we showed up to see Iron Man because we're like, Downey's back? Like,
yeah.
Wow, let's see what that is. And then the movie was really good.
Yeah.
So I think the potential of going, okay, yeah, kids showing, it should be a kid-friendly film. Like, make it... It's Shazam. It shouldn't be brooding and dark.
Well, I mean, but a lot of people would say the most successful recent comic iteration was like the Kingdom Come stuff and making Shazam dark, and does he have a hood or does he have a not? But Sandberg's been playing around a lot on social media. He also has been tweeting, like, here's a picture of Talkie Tawny, the tiger, and Shazam. So people are wondering if he's teasing, like...
Who's posting that?
This is David Sandberg, who's the director. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. As if I couldn't love David Sandberg anymore with the pictures of Coca-Cola cans last week. Now he's got a stack of Coca-Cola cans, and he's got
Shazam doing Tawny in the butt.
Yeah, he's got Mr. Mine. He's got Mr. Adam.
That is not how I read that.
Yep. That's what's happening.
Something's happening, Adam.
He's behind him.
Doing him in the butt.
He's riding him. No, he's actually mounting him.
Mounting him hard.
He's mounting him. He's on top. He's not from behind. I got to tell you guys how sex works later. I don't know. I think he's just
sensuality?
Yeah, you guys don't understand it.
Okay, sure.
You can't be.
In my own right, I do know sex, okay?
Whoa, hey now. Hey now. Either way, David Sandberg can do no wrong in my book with these posts. They're just great.
Yeah, they're great. They are great.
Like, I
this is how you get followers. Like, this is now follow time.
Yeah, follow me. I picture him taking the time to, like, place the figurines perfectly.
East Blue Drew agrees Shazam should be like that movie Big. You know that movie Big with Tom Hanks? That's what he said it should be like.
He just doesn't know. Yeah.
I mean, but Sandberg has said that there's going to be that wish fulfillment. There's going to be like uncomfortable in your body, a little Greatest American Hero flavor.
It would be perfect.
He might be perfect.
And then at some point they sing the Shimmy Shimmy Cocoa Pop song, and then
Shimmy Shimmy Pow.
There you go, that one.
People are calling out Jamie Dornan, Joel Edgerton, Armie Hammer, of course. Like, where's Armie Hammer going to pop up? He's going to be somewhere. I still think he's going to be a Lantern, but...
That would probably make the most sense. So, hey, good news, guys. Wonder Woman has now made more money domestically than... Wow. It's in top five. Top five all-time superhero films.
That's great.
So crazy cool.
Total gross in North America over the weekend reached $409.5 million, passing the $408 million made by Captain America Civil War and the $409 made by Iron Man 3. So, holy crap. It joins
a lot of simoleons.
What else is in that top five?
It joins The Dark Knight Rises, The Avengers, and Avengers Age of Ultron.
Good guessing.
Wow. That is really rarefied air. That's incredible.
Yeah, and it's not done yet.
Wow.
So, that's the Blu-ray hasn't come out.
Oh, no Spidey in that? Or did you say Spidey?
No Spidey.
No Spideys.
Nope.
No Spideys. Spideys have actually gone down, I think, like, successively. You know, they're still making huge money, but, like...
this last one just wasn't that impressive.
I disagree. I enjoyed it a lot.
I enjoyed it.
I know some people really hate it, but I dug it. I had a great time with it.
I enjoyed it, but I don't feel like I should be siding with the villain, and that's who I sided with. I sided with Michael Keaton in that
song. Did you guys hear about... Was that on this show that I heard about her not actually being MJ, even though they say MJ at the end? And him coming out being like, that was a big mistake.
You're saying
we
it's
just
not.
I thought it was like a fun homage.
Yeah, but she's not Mary Jane Watson.
But that is such a weird move.
Okay. Very weird.
Like a backpedal.
Yeah, it does feel like a backpedal. But whatever. Anyway, if she becomes like a love interest in future, she's the new MJ. Whatever.
All right, moving
MJ
on.
MJ Square.
It looks.
OTP.
In its own right.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Justice League has cast Cyborg's mother. Is this official? I think.
Well, it's official that she's on IMDb.
Aha.
But that
so
can be just
that
by
yeah. So
that's the Wikipedia.
So it's not it's not official, but she's officially on IMDb.
Yeah, Karen Bryson, everybody.
If this is true, I believe it only because we've heard that that Joss Whedon, one of his sort of tenets on this movie was to add more round out Cyborg story a bit more.
Yes.
His background. Just doing a lot more with Cyborg, who we've really seen not that much of.
I would love to see her character added to the Flash TV show, too, because I think that that could be really fun for people who don't know. Screen Rant did an awesome job filling us in on who Eleanor is. So she's not only the wife of Silas Stone and mother of Victor in the comics, but she's also a well-renowned scientist at Star Labs and was killed in Silas's unfortunate lab accident and resulted in the creation of Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see whether she's around in flashbacks or what exactly they would do if that's in fact who she's playing.
Right. Either way.
Yeah, or are they going to...
Why does that stress you out?
No, I'm just wondering how they're going to do his story. If they're going
to... think of.
Because we've seen Cyborg already in a tape, so it's after. We know it's in the past, but are they going to roll back and actually show us from that point of view in time and then roll forward or roll back? Just curious to see how it's all going to play out. This is that curiosity that is the Mayweather.
I'm sure they're still curious.
Yeah, they're still like, I don't know where we're going to play
you guys
out.
Think...
We're still shooting.
That's still shooting.
Do you guys think that how people react to Cyborg in Justice League, will that determine whether or not there is a Cyborg solo in 2020?
Of course.
100%.
Yeah, of course.
And not just how they react, but how many action figures are sold, how much merch goes, how many... of them are seen at Comic-Con, like how many cyborgs running around we see. All that matters. I think it's a huge part of why Harley was getting a standalone or whatever it is that she is now doing. Yeah, definitely, because studios money.
I mean, Ray Fisher has like 19 abdominals, so that helps him for sure.
What?
Yeah, he's got a lot.
Are they uneven?
A 19 pounds.
Yeah, but why not 20 or 18?
Well, no,
I feel like you're making fun of him now.
No, his abs
are uneven.
His abs have their own abs. That's how many abs
he
has.
But one of them has more than the other?
Yeah. Dog 96 Soldier said, I heard Cyborg gets blown up in Man of Steel. So that would be interesting. I can't quite track that, but I guess he's implying that, like, there was maybe the football game was going on during the attack of Metropolis, and like just like how we flash back in Batman v Superman, that sort of retroactively also fall out.
They could have possibly planned that.
Wow! Way. If that's the case,
I think that they would have planned it by BVS. Yeah, I mean that's an interesting call. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's an interesting call.
You talk about going in the way back.
They retconned. They just sort of looked back and said, "Oh, let's tie it to that."
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that'll happen or not, but
that's pretty incredible if they do. I think so. Adam, before we get to TV time, I know you wanted to talk about Batman Telltale.
I had some time and I bought a couple of things on my PlayStation this week, and I started the Telltale series, and I also got Batman and Harley Quinn. It's so much fun. It's really very cool. Adult. It's very rated R.
Yes, yeah. Have you played anything? It wasn't.
I've played
adult,
the first chapter
of the new one
of the new Telltale Batman.
Okay, so season two. This is the one with the Riddler.
Not yet.
Okay. No. So you played the one with the first
Carmine,
season.
Yeah.
Yes, Carmine Falcone, which they actually, they make bold choices with continuity.
Yeah.
They make some crazy things about the Wayne's past.
And it's rated R.
It feels rated R. Like, there's people, in the first episode, there was a guy's fingers getting graphically cut off by the Riddler. Yeah. They made the Riddler an older character. Like, there's just original storytelling going on. And I know video game people are going to be like, well, it's really, you're not doing that much, but... it's an interactive and good storytelling, and I enjoy the story more than fun. I even like Batman and Harley Quinn.
Right, so Telltale series isn't necessarily about your skill level. It's kind of like choose your own adventure in a way.
There's a couple timed skill challenges. Hit the button.
And some detecting that could take you, an hour or 5 minutes, depending on how good you are. And so you really get to play as the detective, but
so it's
mostly
almost
it's a story.
As much fun to watch somebody else.
It's an interactive comic book.
Yeah.
That's something I
in
wouldn't
fact,
mind.
Really the other fun. Night, I felt that I had imbibed too much, so I had my girlfriend take the controls. I'm like, I want to play it, but I don't know if my reaction time is there. You take the controls.
How'd she do?
She did okay, but she missed the first one. She totally didn't answer a question like when she had to decide because she had never played before, and I didn't tell her. So I just kind of put the controller in
just
her
willy-nilly
hand.
It.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind watching you guys play that. That sounds like fun.
That's fun.
It's great. And Batman Harley Quinn. So I guess this has been getting some flack because they really sexually objectify Harley Quinn, which, if I was like, 15.
Unlike they did in Suicide Squad.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it was the same thing, same butt shots and stuff like that. I'm curious to know what you guys thought about it. I thought it was great seeing something that looked exactly like Batman, the animated series, with the red sky and hearing Kevin Conroy's voice come out of that sort of look.
Not that suit, though. The suit's a little grayer, less blue.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of more from like the new adventures, like the second run when they kind of took the yellow target off and everything.
Oh,
and with the black and gray.
25 years.
Yeah, 25 years. So this came out. This was sort of well timed because it's 25 years since Batman the Animated Series started in 1992, and Bruce Timm worked on this one, which and he created Harley Quinn with Paul Dini and all that.
Wow.
And the character that plays Nightwing was Robin in the original show. But he actually seems kind of like older and more curmudgeon-y in this movie than Batman, so that's kind of interesting. And then there's like a karaoke scene with, no joke, like two full-on songs, where it got to the point I was like, wait, what is going on?
We need at least 80 minutes, put both songs in.
And then spoilers, 1, 2, 3, 4, spoilers, freaking Swamp Thing shows up, and he's huge.
Did you cry of happiness?
I was so happy. And then he just was out. Then he's like, but it's not my place to judge. And then he leaves. And then it just sort of, it was a weird storytelling.
So you definitely enjoyed it more than The Killing Joke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Better than The Killing Joke.
Yas?
Yas?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's just a thing.
Yes,
like the place where you go, isn't that a place where you go to work out?
That's how the kids mispronounce the word yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
If somebody said, did you enjoy it more, you would say yes.
Oh, God.
I would never. You might. Ever say it.
You might.
I text
pledge, some rights.
I pledge you now.
I'll text it. I text you all the time. I won't say it out loud.
Yes.
But either way, I'm excited to see it. I thought Killing Joke, the dialogue was very robotic, and I wasn't a big fan, so I'm kind of excited to see this one.
It's time.
Oh, also Nightwing gets with Harley.
Nice. You're really just
nice
throwing it out there, aren't
nice.
You?
Nice. He gets with it, and Batman walks in on it, and it's awkward.
Wow.
Why is it so awkward?
Because he didn't see the sock hanging over the
door. Yeah, it was always like that moment. Like, he walks the in sock. Costume.
Yeah. You mean the cowl wasn't hanging over the door?
All right, let's get to it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's
all right,
do
it's time for
it's time for Roxy Strives TV time. Johnny's
fine.
I like Matt, but he's a liar. The girls do nothing of fun.
You are fine,
but I appreciate it. TV time.
Nice new version.
So you better have enjoyed that song because you are not gonna get any more songs in the DC TV CW universe.
Damn,
it seems like that was the one and only musical crossover. That is not confirmed, but it is Danielle Panabaker's belief that that will be the only one. She talked about how challenging it was and not thinking they were going to do another one. She said, that musical was pretty ambitious. I think by the time we finished the musical, we were pretty exhausted. To the best of my knowledge, we're not going to do that again this year.
But if they say they're going to, if they tell her, hey, we're doing one, she'll be like, okay.
Oh, of course, because that's what contracts have you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Things that we love so much as consumers, as an audience, is not always the favorite on set. So I thought that was like pulling back the curtain a little bit. For me, I'm like, they're singing and dancing all day. Of course that's a blast.
It's so crazy. During Comic-Con, when the one day I was on the floor, I was cruising around and I was trying to meet the people from Quantum Mechanics who make these amazing figures. Quantum Mechanics with an X, get their stuff. I was going to say hi to them, and just so happened that the Supergirl cast was going into the little area where they talk to people.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a panel, if you will. And I just happened to be walking by, and I looked to my right, and Melissa Benoist was like 6 feet away, and I was like, I never, ever get like, huh? She is something else.
Yeah, she definitely is.
Incredible actress, too.
Yep. Okay, so moving on to, this is just me letting you guys know that this exists, because I didn't know it was out there. Mark Guggenheim did a hour-long interview with Collider talking about all the DC TV shows this week, and it really went over a lot of what these next seasons have to offer, so you guys can go check that out. They were talking about all different kinds of things, possibly introducing a Black Lives Matter episode to Arrow, because, wow, you know, this year they took on the matter of guns in an episode, sure, and it was very polarizing, and some people loved that they did it, some people didn't love it, but Stephen Amell has said that he really wants to make a social difference, and that seems like one of the things they might be after, but they talked about really everything, so go check it out if you are a super fan of the DC CW TV shows. More information on the CW shows. Legends of Tomorrow is taking, as they usually do, one of the characters from Arrow. You guys remember Damian Dark's daughter on the show.
DDD.
Well, apparently,
Triple D.
Eleanor.
Triple D's. Apparently, she is coming over as a big bad over on Legends.
Played by Courtney Ford.
Yes. She was excellent. She is excellent. She's very talented, and we'll see what she does and why she's coming over and what year and what place we're in. With Legends, you never know, because you could be any cast, any time, anywhere, any good, any bad, any. So
you're right. It is all over the place, for sure.
Yeah.
In a good way.
In a good way.
I love it for that.
In a total good way. This dropped right as we were going in when Johnny said that Mikey Christmas texted us. This is what he was referring to. We have more Titans casting, which is crazy because every single week we've announced a huge character on Titans. Right around this time it comes out and we keep getting one more person. This is a big star. You guys might know him from Hunger Games or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Alan Ritchson, and he is coming on as Hawk. So, yeah, he's good looking. Could be mistaken as a Hemsworth, maybe, by some people at this table.
Or an Army.
He's also been in the DC world before.
He looks like one of the Hammers as well.
He was Aquaman. He was Aquaman on Smallville.
Yeah, Smallville,
so this is like what Warner Brothers loves to do. They love
to make a series out of that.
I don't know. Was he in that one? What was it called? Coral Cove. I don't know if he was the guy who played Aquaman, but he was Aquaman on Smallville. Yeah. And like that's something Warner Brothers DC always does. They cast from their past and put you in their present, like John Wesley Shipp. I remember collecting Hawk and Dove comics for a while. I don't know too much about the characters, but they have been same sex at the time. They've both been guys. They've been a guy and a girl. And like Hawk is really like, he's a hawk. He's a war hawk. He's all pro, you know, conflict. And Dove is more of the pacifist side, just like their namesakes. So you heard
they picked their names?
Yeah, they really hit their names.
Or did they own up to the names that they were given?
That's a good question. I need to know more about the origin of Hawk and Dove. How are you guys feeling about this Titan show? What do you think it's going to look like?
I think it's going to look a lot like Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, Flash.
But not produced by the same people.
Not produced, and B, not living in the same place. So I feel as if it will have a completely different tone, a different look, and something that I may or may not cough up the cash for to get their digital service.
And, you know, you and I can agree to disagree in our own right.
In our own right, I can't do that.
I'm with you in the sense that I really hope it looks different. I'm at CW saturation right now. I want a different flavor of ice cream.
I can't keep up with anything.
But this excites me because the characters they're picking. I mean, we got Dick Grayson.
Kelly is also playing Dove, apparently.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I didn't know that until that person just said
who's playing Dick Grayson
in the chat.
It was announced last week. Who's playing Dick Grayson? What's that dude's name again?
Wow, Minka Kelly, that was announced 34 minutes ago that Minka Kelly was cast as Dove. That's awesome.
Friday
I love
Night
Friday Night Lights.
Lights,
yeah.
Is that who she is? Okay.
But also a lot of different things. But she's such a doll face.
She's talented.
Okay, what was your question? Okay. Who's Dick Grayson?
Who's playing Dick Grayson?
And his name is in his own right.
That's it.
Brenton Thwaites.
That's right. That's right. We talked about that, I think, last week.
Yeah, we did. He was from Pirates of the Caribbean. Man Tell No Tales.
So it seems like if DC is launching their streaming service, this
Will
is
Turner's
pretty
son,
much...
Right?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it seems like they're really putting a lot into this show, and this is sort of going to be the flagship of the streaming service, because to my knowledge, there's
it's got to be good, because they got to get people to pay for it.
And this, so it's
right.
this, and
this
also
original content.
Young Justice.
Are they putting other
that's
things
animated.
On the streaming service?
I'm assuming that eventually the CW content will live there, too. All the Donner Superman films, Swamp Thing. I mean, I think the idea is, like, I don't think it's Warner Brothers. I think it's specifically a DC streaming service.
Yeah.
Am
yes,
I right about
is.
That?
You talk about saturation. A lot of people are becoming saturated with, you know, VOD services. You know,
yes.
And so DC has to bring the thunder.
Well, unless I think at some point it's gonna flip over and like the cable services and the dish are gonna be gone and it's all gonna be.
They're not slowing down though. I mean, why wouldn't they then put Black Lightning on their streaming service? They're saying it has no correlation to any of the other DC TV CW shows, but they're putting it on CW. So I think they're hedging their bets a little bit here. Like, we want it to work, so we're going to put good shows there. But in case it doesn't, we also still have this.
Exactly.
Shiny little thing.
Well,
One more thing. Because we had an episode of Preacher.
Oh, right.
Oh, my God.
And it was the penultimate. What, right? Next
one? I'm so behind, dude. I'm so behind.
Okay. So no spoilers. We'll give no spoilers.
Have you seen the first season?
I've seen the first episode of season 2.
Okay.
We just bought it. We cut.
What did you think?
We cord cut. And so we're like, we just downloaded it.
So what did you think?
I'm so happy.
It's
okay, because
so
the season I'm 2 so opened and you're like, whoa, we're here.
It makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Season 1 made me so happy.
It's one of the best shows on TV.
It hurts because I just want to be on that.
It's so much fun. And the thing is, like, they've made it so different than the actual comic. They're doing so much more than adapting the
but
comic.
Then,
you'd be a great
fan. But then there's some stuff where you're like, yes, when things happen and it's literally off the pages, like you're in certain locations in episodes, and you're
yes,
I remember literally flipping through this, and this is what it looked like.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
So
and
also,
happened in this episode, and I was like, damn!
We've gone
the
whole episode, not even mentioned. You've been in the DC universe. You were on Gotham.
I was.
Who were you on Gotham?
I was Black Mask on Gotham.
Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm. Actually, not technically Black Mask. I was the Mask. I was Roman... Richard Sionis, probably technically Roman's father.
And what was your experience like working on that show? Was that in New York?
Yeah, we shot in New York.
One of the photos we showed early in the show was actually him.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a dream come true.
I loved last time when you came on, you were talking about being, just looking around being like, holy crap, I'm in Gotham.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second time I did it, I was in Arkham. Like I'm in Arkham Asylum.
So how do you feel? You're a criminal. You're locked up, man.
Sorry, guys. We're out of time, but this is too good. We have to talk about this. So what are your thoughts about like where it looks like we're seeing a young Bruce Wayne donning a cape of some kind?
That new costume,
I'll take
though.
I think the show say if it goes for another like two seasons, you end right as he puts the full thing on, and then it just goes to right.
I mean, I feel like just because of his age, you kind of have to, unless you flash forward, it's like, I want to see him, like you know, in a mountain somewhere, like, sort of where Batman begins.
He needs to leave.
I think that they're hoping for a lot more than two seasons on this one.
No, I'm saying if.
Yeah, but I think that it goes two more, we see it, and then they go five more.
As
Batman?
Yeah. As
what?
Batman?
I'm thinking that's what this
show is fingers
crossed
about. I don't think they're going to burn.
Look, if it keeps making money, they'll keep making
it.
It's going to be weird how they deal with Batman on Titans. Like, you have to reference Batman, but
they kind of, I mean, it's similar as, like, with Birds of Prey, right? Like, they would sort of have Batman sort of half show up.
Really?
Did you not watch
I
Birds
never
of Prey?
Saw Birds of Prey, but I know it didn't last very long. But
it's a season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, did you watch Birds of Prey? Watch Birds of Prey. It's very, very CW.
Birds of Prey was something that would show up on that DC streaming service, I guarantee you.
No, it's what was her name? The who played Harley Quinn is on that.
Speaking of which, I mean, I think the animated series Batman will probably show up in the DC service as well. Like, they're going to have to do a lot of backlogging and, hey, get your classic episodes
and
here,
all
too.
All the animated movies. Plus, maybe throw the 1966 version on.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's all going that way. I mean, we just heard today that Marvel films and Star Wars are going to be leaving Netflix. You know what I mean? Like, Disney's taking their bat and ball, and they're going to their own streaming service.
Oh, my God.
Sarah,
what was that?
Yeah, on that note, Adam, I was going to ask, like, can you see DC starting to pull their own content from Netflix and such?
Yeah, I think what it has to be, there's probably certain deals that are in place for a certain amount of time. They are. CW shows have been showing up.
The CW shows.
Unless they may have switched to Hulu, and they may have just switched to Hulu, but like they were doing
No, they're on Netflix, and they're like the day after. It's no longer you have to wait until the next season airs. Yeah, they're really quick. I forgot about that.
And it won't matter. Netflix is making all their own shows anyway. No.
Sure.
Who's it?
Netflix has.
Yes, exactly.
They're doing very well. Netflix is not really going to suffer.
Yeah, original content, though, in their own right.
Good stuff. Wow. It was a pleasure having you on the show, man.
Thanks for back.
Tell us, what can we see next from Todd Stashwick? We have the comic book once again. Where can people get it?
Blastoffcomics.com. They also have amazing selections of vintage comics there and like rare, wonderful stuff if you're looking for the deep dive. But
the way you described it was great. You said it's almost like going to a mixologist and saying, what kind of drink can you make?
Yeah, that's going, like if you go to the brick and mortar on Lankershim in North Hollywood, Judd and Harley, the people that work there, they're amazing. They will, if you've never read a comic book, they can kind of find a great one for you. But the website itself, if you're not happen to be fortunate enough to go to the brick and mortar, has so much available to them. And one of the things they have available is Devil Inside.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
And what else? Well, obviously 12 Monkeys. Well, do we know when it's,
it'll come out next year.
Okay.
And we got to put it together now. They have to assemble all the episodes because we just shot.
And in the meantime, you are a free agent.
I'm writing and I'm still working on the Star Wars game and developing stuff.
Which Star Wars game?
The EA Visceral.
Oh, that's the one I'm so excited for. Yeah. That's the one that's more like Uncharted style, like you actually play
it. I have nothing to say.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that one. I do not like playing the games where the little kids blow me up in 30 seconds. Like, I just need to be my own world.
It's going to be good. We're very proud and excited for what we're making.
Lightsaber-wielding goodness
so
coming
cool.
soon.
Adam Gertler, put yourself over.
Hey, guys, you can find me at Adam Gertler, doing FX movie download on FX. We just did Captain Phillips. I'm not sure what we got coming up, but I'm sure we got some stuff coming up soon. I think they're still showing Man vs. Child Chef Showdown on FYI. I heard some people saw that, or maybe it's just in India now. But yeah, and then make sure you check out our Schmodown with me and Killer Kalinowski representing DC. Whatever happened, it was a pleasure.
There you go, Roxy.
to Jack Fern at Logan underscore Wilson 93. Happy 24th birthday.
Happy birthday.
We really appreciate you being a fan of the show.
He
and
actually came
you.
Out to see me in Florida last year.
Oh, that's awesome.
At Palm Beach Improv. Oh.
That's awesome.
And
so
our good fan Ivan Soto really wants us to tell you that they love you on 12 Monkeys.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks. Ivan Soto.
If you haven't watched that show, I'd really love for people to catch up on it. It's on Hulu.
Cool. In my own right, I'm Roxy Stryer, so you can find me at Roxy Stryer.
We have a name for your autobiography.
In her own right.
Also, you guys can find me over on TV Fights every Tuesday, 4 p.m. on Screen Junkies News, where we are not behind the paywall, like he said. So no money, come for free. Yeah.
Make it happen.
No bras.
My own right, you can find me at Jay Quasto, QuastoAlbum.com. My new comedy album hit the Billboard Top 10. But hey, I'm still trying to get it out there, y'all. So go to QuastoAlbum.com. It's available everywhere. I just got accepted by Pandora today.
Woo!
So, yeah.
I use Pandora still.
Well, you got to get a Johnny LaQuasto station.
What an endorsement.
Yeah.
That's the one that I use.
Well, good. It's going to be on there. I'm very excited. I had to submit it myself, and they listened to it and said, yes, we'd love to have you on Pandora, which is pretty cool. I'm at the Brea Improv in Orange County with Tiffany Haddish this weekend. It's going to be really dope.
Wow. That's a big deal, too.
It's fun. I've known her for about a decade, and it just so happened that they needed a host for both nights, and I'm going to go do it. So it'll be a lot of fun.
She was in that the Friends parody Jay-Z Black video opening thing.
She's crushing.
That's obviously she's in a million things.
She's crushing at life right now. Yeah, I think every show is already sold out. They added a third show on Saturday night that begins at 11:45 p.m. That means there's a demand.
Yeah, and I like you well a deserved. Lot, Johnny.
Huh?
I like you a lot.
I like you a lot.
Good things.
In your own right?
In all the rights.
Okay,
this is
cool.
An OTP.
And on that note,
and Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.
Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network.